and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Futures Under. Today we have a fabulous guest all the way from LA. These LA guys make me stay up late. I don't know why. We got Sam Salerno. Did I get it right?
Salerno.
I tried. I'm sorry. His film, Death by a Thousand Cuts. It's the film we're discussing tonight. Hey, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me.
So I guess I want to start. I did a little bit of research. You had this as a short film first, I read, and then you went to a feature.
Yeah, I just for funding purposes did it in stages. So it's actually two short films, and I combined them and then shot more to make it the full thing.
Oh, hold on. There's two short films.
Yeah.
So how long was the first short film? And then I'll know how long the second one was, obviously.
They were both like roughly 20 to 22 minutes long.
Okay, but this is like an hour and 40 film.
Yeah, I shot quite a bit more on top of them. I just used them to raise a little funds for finishing it, basically.
Now, did you dislike that process immensely, or you didn't mind doing that way?
Well, it actually felt easier than what I've done in the past, but just shoot a feature in like a week or two straight. At least felt good to space it out a little bit.
That's good. That's good. So did you always have your same cast the whole time, or did people come in and out? Because there's such a delay.
Yeah, there were people from the shorts that I, you know, brought back, or they were in both shorts or just in the later stuff. But there's a lot of characters that only came like one day, just at some point during the like almost 2 years that we shot it over.
Hold on. This took 2 years?
I mean, on and off. Yeah, roughly. I mean, I can't think exactly. I know we finished shooting it in January 2020. No, I guess it was about a year. It would have been about a year. I think it was early 2019 I shot the first shorts.
So I want to go walk me through your editing process. Because, I mean, you have a – it must have been very difficult shooting films completely out of sequence at times and not knowing if you're ever going to finish them at one point. I mean, I'm sure you're playing with, I'm going to get these done. But when you're crowdfunding and doing the editing on this, how did you know where your edits were going to be?
I guess I just had the whole movie in my mind. So, I mean, I basically, because I don't have much of a budget, I pretty much only am able to really shoot what I'm going to use, if that makes sense. So I don't really have a lot of extra footage lying around, just like bad takes, basically. But I pretty much used everything we shot. So, I mean, editing, it did take forever to edit because, I mean, luckily quarantine kind of helped with that because I had nothing better to do anyways.
So how did you do your casting then? I mean, again, I'm going to ask questions. Did you tell them this may be more work in the future? I'm going to need you to be available, or you just hope somebody would be around?
Yeah, well, I mean, the lead actor who's like in basically every scene in the whole movie except for like one, like I had worked with him before, so I had explained it to him. But a lot of them, yeah, I basically told them like I'm doing this short film, like, hopefully able to, you know, bring you back and make the full film, which is what I want to do. But at least for right now, it is just a short. And I was fortunately nobody like showed up for a short and then wouldn't come back or something. Did not have to reshoot it.
So how did you feel about your setup? I mean, I'll come right and say it. The kill scenes tend to be a little jarring at times. Do you get that from audience reactions?
I mean, yeah, this was definitely probably the most jarring film I guess I've made, because in the past I did more like horror comedies and this one's more like straight up horror. So I'm not exactly sure what you were asking about that.
Well, I'm guessing was the audience reaction like, this is cool, or oh my god, because I mean you shoot the basic reality that I live in one way, and then when you go into a trance you go into a different reality. So I was wondering how the audience react to that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, actually, it was odd because a lot of the gore scenes and the stuff that was actually the handheld like footage where the characters like filming was what the first short film was. So people were expecting the rest of the film to be like that. But that's for the most part, that's really all the gore there is. The rest of the film is more of just like weird dream sequences and whatnot. So I do think people were confused because they were expecting more of just like a straight up gore film, because that's what the first short was.
So did you know what your film was going to be when you got it all together? I mean, beforehand, like you had parts, did you have it all written out or no?
Yeah, well, I had actually wrote it like late 2017 and my computer had crashed at a certain point and I'd lost it. So I still knew like the story, but I did have to rewrite stuff. And then just due to budget constraints or whatnot. And like when I wrote it, I just wrote it the way I wanted it. And when I actually had to go do it and rewrote, I rewrote it in stages as we were filming, but had to adjust things. But I did know that basically what everything was going to be.
So the first short, how was working with blood? I always want to know. Some people hate it. Some people love it. How do you feel about it?
Oh, I like doing it. I mean, normally I make it myself, but just the syrup and food coloring. But the day we did like the big gore scene, you know, the, if you've seen the movie, you know which one I'm talking about. I brought in a woman. I basically, someone recommended her, and she's like an effects artist. So she had her whole process of doing that, and she made like the intestines and whatnot. So that made it a lot easier because she basically did all that.
So, okay. How was CGI working? Did you know where your CGI was going to be placed, or at the end of the movie, you're like, yep, we need a little bit more work here. We need work there. Cause I can't see you writing it into a short film at the beginning until you had the funding to do it. So I don't know where your placement would have been.
Yeah. Well, cause I do the CGI myself. So I did know basically how I was going to do it. It was mostly pretty simple stuff that, yeah, I guess I just shot it in a way knowing like, because I'm the one doing the CGI, I know the most convenient way to shoot it for my level, because I'm the greatest CGI artist. So I was not trying to do anything with that. So, I mean, it does get pretty over the top at the end, that big scene.
It does. Now, when you're filming outside, were you using natural lighting or do you have actual lights set up outside?
Mostly natural. I think we just reflected the sun, with the exception of the shots at the end there. We did, you know, it was at night, we had some lights, and then, but for a lot of it was just Brett, the lead actress, holding the lantern. Like, we were just using the lantern light.
That must make some of your shots difficult. Is that what you find that gave you that grainy quality on the shots?
I think so. Adrian, the cinematographer, he's really good with coloring and whatnot. So basically tell him like, make it look good. And he's got all his gear and his abilities in post to like, make it look good. I'm like, yeah, that looks good to me, you know?
So how did you cast for your film? I mean, obviously the main actor you knew who you're going to have ahead of time, but you have a lot of people coming in and out.
Yeah. Just putting out casting calls. Yeah, I had worked with a few of them before. And then the other one was a couple months before, I guess, between the two short films. So it's like maybe autumn 2019, I think. I got a guy I went to college with. He wrote a script and he was producing it. He had me direct it. And one of the guys that applied for that was Daniel, who plays the giant in the movie. But he didn't work out for that film. But I noticed, I was like he's 7 feet 7 inches tall. I was like, I'm looking for a giant for this film. Like, I'm not going to find anyone bigger. And he's got acting experience. So I was like, hey, like, I don't think you're going to work out for this film, but I'm doing this other one that I actually care a lot more about. It's a lot bigger thing in the near future. I'd love to have you. And then he was perfect. I think he did hit his head on my ceiling at one point.
That is a big man.
Yeah, he was humongous.
So I also want to discuss. So do you think about using him in future movies? Do you write him in now since you know you liked his acting?
I would love to. The only problem is he's the one actor that I did have to fly to LA because he's in Kansas. So I don't know if there's anyone in LA that's as big as him. You know, I was like, all right. Oh, I don't want to. There's so many actors in LA that like, I don't want to be flying people out because that's like, you know, expensive. But I was like, I mean, he's kind of irreplaceable. You know?
So I want to go through a few of your locations. Is there a church with a dump beside it? Or is that a cut scene that you've edited, spliced it in to look like a dump right beside the church?
For which part? I'm trying to think.
You have the church and the guy says, there's a dump. And you immediately turn and pan to a dump, a road.
Oh, there is. That is a real church. It's this weird part of my town. There's the church, like the dump's right there. And then the graveyard is right there. And there's a little path like behind the church. Basically, as he's describing the legend of the tunnel under the graveyard, that's just a true thing that's in my town. I've been wanting to throw that in a movie somewhere.
That's insane. I thought for sure you edited that in somehow. I'm like, that shot looks really good for an edit. Wow.
Yeah, it's a very weird little area. It's creepy. It's the creepiest place I've been. So I was like, it's perfect. It's right back where I lived.
Oh, that's all. How did you, what is the machine used by the psychologist? How did you make that and what is it really?
Oh, that was something I found in like the garage at my mom's house. Cause I guess when my dad's an engineer, I guess when he was like a teenager or something, he had bought some kit that was for building some sort of device. He said like test electronics. So I don't exactly know what that means. But it's just a big, weird-looking thing. We actually got it, like, running, and we didn't know what to – we were just messing with the knobs, and weird lights were coming on, and then it just died because it hadn't been used in, like, decades. So I just, in CGI, added the little green lights on it, which is basically how it looked because it didn't work after about 5 minutes. I just thought it looked cool. I was like, that's perfect for – and then the thing he actually put over his face that was attached to it was actually a mask I had tried to make for a movie in the past, and it was like a bad attempt, and I just had this big weird fleshy looking thing in my garage, and I attached it to like that hose, and it just worked perfectly.
So I presume your parents have seen the film. What did your dad notice his item in the film?
No, they haven't seen it. I don't really show them my films, but yeah, he would definitely recognize it. I mean, he built it. I might have told him I was using it. I don't.
So where did all your masks and the mannequin come from?
The mannequin I had from a previous film. My first full-length of the movie called The Dark Side of the Woman. There's a mannequin factory scene, so I just had that in my garage. And then the masks were – I just wanted two masks for the two killers. And the mask, when I tried to buy it on Amazon, it was like a 30-pack. And I was like, well, I just – might as well make everyone wear the mask. It's kind of cool. So I just like had some pastels and just drew a different, the same basic pattern for all of them with different colors and whatnot. I tried to give each character like their mask somehow reflected their like personality, but I don't know if it really came through.
How long does that take to design 30 masks? I mean, that's not an easy process.
Yeah. I just sat down and started doing it. So it took like maybe a couple hours just with the cool thing too, though, is because I did it with the pastels. Like the more you touch them, it would kind of smudge them. So by the time we actually like film, they all just look really like worn and dirty, which I think actually looks a lot cooler. The funny thing with the masks too is when we did the first film where there's the found footage part, like there's all the masks on the wall, like on the wall, which we had just taped up and they kept falling. And it was like, cause there's those really long camera moves, but the mask falling looked creepy, but it wasn't what we wanted. So, when I did the second short film later, I actually had the part where the giant's walking and his footsteps are knocking him down. But that actually came from like a problem we were having on set earlier. And I worked that into the script later.
So if I go into your garage, I have to ask, what are we going to find? Sounds like there's everything.
Yeah, there's a ton of gore props and mannequins, I guess.
So you're like set for Halloween every year.
For sure. Yeah.
Did you want a certain graininess? Because I really enjoyed your graininess of the footage. I guess it was the first short film we're discussing when we cut to there. Like, how did you get that grainy footage? Because, I mean, at times it's hard to see what's going on. Not that that takes away from the film. I think that's what you were getting at. But I just love that texture.
Yeah, just because that part was, you know, just supposed to be actually filmed by the people, like, I thought it just looks creepier if it just looks like an actual like home video for the gore as opposed to like actually just a polished film. So Adrian, the cinematographer, he actually brought, you can see it at one point, the guy's holding the big VHS camera, but we couldn't get it to actually work. It's the same thing with that machine. Basically it would work for a few seconds and stop. So we just had the guy pretend like he was filming with it. And then we just shot it digitally. And then in post, I just made it look all grainy. And you just like shift the colored channels slightly off, so the like blues are a little this way, the reds are, and it just has that like old look, like they're not quite lining up.
So when you go into filming this and you have your idea, do you ever get in the middle of it and feel like you want to change something at the last minute, or once you're set, you've locked it down, you're good to go, there's no more changes?
Oh, I changed up all the time. I drive Brett, the main actor, nuts because I was write him these long blocks of dialogue, and then like he'll do it, and I'll just think in the moment like, oh, can you change one thing? And he's like, it's hard because I have this whole thing memorized. It's hard to like change one line. But yeah, I constantly am just changing stuff. Also, and in terms of like actually shooting it too, I have a basic idea in my head, but like everyone, other directors, I'm making a shot list and whatnot. For me, it's like, I'll do all the planning in the world, but when I actually get there, like, I don't really look at it. I'll just, what I'm feeling right then is like, I'll be like, can we get this shot? I'll talk with Adrian. We basically do it right then. We kind of figure it out how to cover it.
So I do have to ask about that bathroom. Whose bathroom did you constantly, I don't know what the proper term is, add to?
The blood everywhere?
Yes.
You talking my bathtub? Yeah, that's my mom's house. She just, yeah, she lets me, I mean, I didn't, like I told her, like, oh, we're using a little blood. I probably, because I just cleaned it up well, but yeah, she probably wouldn't have wanted me to do it if she knew. Like, we did break the, because Brett's the big guy and Aaron is playing the other mask guy. They're both really like large and they're having that big fight in that like little bathroom. So when he stabs Brett, spoiler alert, for the film, but he grabbed, his natural like reaction was to grab the like towel holder and he just ripped it right off the wall. Like there's a big old hole in the wall.
So have you fixed the hole in the wall for your mom, or you never did?
Sure. I bought some new, more modern looking towel holders.
That's very kind of you.
Yeah.
So do you prefer handheld as a director, or do you like Steadicam, which is one you prefer more?
Probably handheld for sure, but if it's an effects sequence, I'm going to lock it down just because I'm not skilled enough to do it with a lot of handhelds.
You'll get there. You'll get there. I promise. So when people come out of your film, do they're like, oh my God, that was disturbing. Is that the reaction you're looking from people when they come out?
Yeah, a little bit more with this one than my previous ones, but I guess I just like making it like a very like weird atmosphere. Like I just hope like my film feels original, if anything, and like different. So a lot of times people just see my films and they'll just be like, how do you like think of this stuff? Like, I feel like I'm better at coming up with ideas than like executing them. So like, writing is my favorite part of filmmaking. So if people like my story, that means more to me, I guess, than thinking it was like, looks good or it was well shot or something.
Yeah, I'd say your film comes off more like a dream sequence, a big, gigantic dream with tons of levels and different things happening and different. It could honestly argue, I mean, I don't know if that you were getting at different nights of the same dream.
Yeah, like I mean, the basically the two shorts, the way I try to sell people is like, one is the what really happened and one is his like mind's feeling on it, if that makes sense. Like his the objective of what happened in the house and the subjective, because there's the dream of him going through the house and seeing the masks. And then there's him actually going in like later in the film, which is just the two short films played back to back basically in the full movie. So I was basically thinking that is like, he has this dream where he goes to the house, then you see him actually go, but they're still kind of the same thing, if that makes sense, like two different ways of portraying it.
So do you want to continue with this kind of genre, or are you going to go back to like a horror comedy later?
Yeah, probably. I did do a short recently that was like, I feel like was kind of similar to this. I just finished it up, and then I'm actually planning my next feature, which I guess, yeah, it's probably a little somewhere in between. There's like a little, it's like this. I still feel there's a little bit of comedy in there, but yeah, I would say I'm doing something similar to this for my next one.
Okay, before I let you go, I have three fun questions everybody gets, so they'll be a little bit different every time. But everybody, because it's your first time on the show, gets the same first question. Can I have your favorite film, please?
Probably Eraserhead.
Oh, that is... You know what? I'm not surprised, but after watching your film, that's 100% a perfect answer.
Yeah.
It's Friday night. You have your friends over. What film do you put on to watch?
I guess it would depend on who was coming, but probably like, I don't know, maybe the second or third Evil Dead movie.
That's just such a fun watch.
Yeah.
And your last question is really easy. When you finally get back to the movie theater, what movie snacks are you ordering?
I don't normally really get snacks there, but I normally get an icy if I'll go get the half red, half blue icy, I guess.
Before I let you go, tell everybody where they can find your film.
It's on Amazon Prime. It's to stream it with an account if you're in the U.S. or the U.K. Otherwise, you can buy a DVD from a company called Acid Brain Productions. Has the DVDs on their website.
Thank you for your time and have a great day.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, bye.